car, truck, or SUV, from tune-ups to tires, give Fred a call at 215-949-3232. And now it's time to go under the hood with Fred Fletcher.
It's electric. Oh, never mind.
No, it's on fire.
That's a really a hot car, right? Oh man. In the arena once again with America's Mechanic, ladies and gentlemen, Fred Fletcher. You got a lot of stuff going on out there.
Yeah, we're busy as usual.
July, man. Ooh.
Yeah. Used to be July was a vacation month for everybody, but and it kind of was a little slow in July, but not anymore.
The way they play July, though, they'll just get out first or second of July, start their vacation. You get the 4th or 5th. You might even get back to the 7th or 8th or 9th, but coming back. So they kind of milk the July part of it.
I'm knocking on wood when I say this, I have not had a slow day in years.
Probably before
COVID, because, we were closed down. Things were slow for 2 weeks in COVID.
Sure.
But we were still open, just doing some work and stuff. But ever since then, it's been all systems go. So, and I'm very happy and fortunate.
Well, I don't know, more than the people in town, more than thank God that you were open. I mean, what am I going to do? I need a car for the road. And you all of a sudden, you start worrying about stuff being without, that you've had with. For so long.
Yeah, I remember when they said they were going to shut all the businesses down. I'm like, bull crap, I'm not. Yeah.
Oh, I
am not shutting down.
I remember you posting on it. Who are they to tell me what is essential and not as essential?
Essential that I need to make a living.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely, So everybody's sitting there, we won't make that
mistake again. Yeah, that was a total
washout.
For everybody.
Yeah, it was.
So we won't fall for that again.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to talk a little bit about electric. We'll start out with charging systems.
Keep it short.
Because we've been seeing a lot of alternators coming in, and a lot of alternators are failing because people aren't maintaining their batteries.
Do they know how?
When somebody comes in for an oil change, we check.
Yeah.
Yeah, we check.
Got any
make
juice
sure
in
there's
there?
It. Well, we make sure that the life is good on it. We make sure there's not a lot of corrosion on it. But if it's customers that we don't see that often, or maybe they do their own oil changes, or maybe they went somewhere else, we see a lot of corrosion on batteries, and the alternators are overworking themselves. Trying to push that voltage into the battery.
The disease is terminal, by the way.
It's got a bad terminal end.
Yeah,
we see a lot of those, too,
because
of the corrosion, the terminal ends, because a lot of them aren't the old lead ones like we used to get. They're like tin straps,
back in the old days, everything you could mess everything up and it would still work fine. Not anymore.
There's so much voltage and amperage and everything going through the alternator. From the alternator, everything runs on the amperage through the alternator and the battery. There's a lot more than it used to be. Years ago, I had an old '81 Chevy truck and the alternator went bad. And then maybe it was '78. Maybe 78.
That's a big repair.
The alternator went bad, and I was able to drive home from... I was dating my now wife over here, and I drove all the way back to Hamilton Township on the battery juice. You can't do that anymore.
The good old days of living on the edge, Fred.
Had a nice 35-amp alternator. that was the end. Now you got 400-amp alternators.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
But
if anybody's got a question, call, comment, 215-949-3232. We'll get you right on here.
Yeah, we're getting a real big run of batteries again. The heat's probably affecting a lot of them.
I remember you testing one time. Basically, see how much juice was in there, and it got to around 20%. He said, 20 means you're about done.
Yeah,
and I said, done. I can get now. You're playing with a lottery after that.
It doesn't work that way. Common thought process would be, that's how it works.
We're in denial.
I started out at 100%, and I got 4 years out of it, and I got 20%. I got another year.
No,
it doesn't work that way. I start recommending batteries once they test less than 40%.
That's what you're going to get.
we've had a couple of those. Well, some of those are battery connections when they just click like that.
Oh.
So corrosion will do that. But
that'll give you the bad stomach in 2 seconds when that doesn't work.
Oh, yeah, and every car doesn't start. I had 4 or 5 people this morning with their hair on fire with flat tires and dead batteries. And
Do you remember the comedy album Robert Klein had about starting your car on a cold winter morning? He said, your car seems to talk to you when you put the key in the engine. Please don't try to start me. Please don't try to start me. Leave me alone. I thought of you with that instead. Mm-hmm. It's so tricky sometimes. The slightest little thing and you're basically out of the, oh, what's there? And then you said, well, loose connection. Boom. Okay, fine. You're hoping it's that.
Yeah, you got to keep a cool head and see.
Yeah.
Call AAA.
Yeah.
I had a customer the other day. She came in. She needed to be somewhere. She needed a battery. Mm-hmm. It went all of a sudden on her. And I showed her that where we tested it back in April, and it was at 40%. And I said, I told you then that it was going to happen. And she goes, you did, and I didn't believe you. And I need to go to, she had, crazy.
Yeah, but you don't, I told you so. You don't do that.
No, I just said, look, we recommended this, and this is what happens. And she's like, I know, I should have listened to you. So
it's a hard lesson to learn, right. But I'm sure from now on, she's gone on top of it.
Yeah, when she called, I said, do you have AAA? It'll come out and jump you and get the car over to me. And she did not. Yeah. But she got the car over to me. Somebody else gave her a hand, and then she came in. And she's telling me what's going on. And just so happened, John Ryder, my AAA rep, was sitting there. He was picking up his car because we work on his cars.
Timing is beautiful.
He says, well, why don't you gift her a membership?
Nice.
Because for new members, I can gift up to 10 customers a classic membership, which is your entry level. And she's pretty much local, so she's got a surprise coming to her in the mail in the next week. Yeah,
well, let it go on the air.
Unless she listens to this show, she does. Well, she's still. I didn't say her name, so. Yeah. But she's got a surprise AAA membership coming in free of charge from AAA.
The greatest investment you can make.
Yes.
About $250 somewhere in there with daughter and Robin and everything, and just you may even use it once if you're lucky, but you know what? Mm-hmm. The towing bill and everything else you think about, one time could really set you back.
We had a customer who brought their car and needs a starter. We're going to get a look at it today. Over the weekend, it got towed in for a starter from Cape May. So, and they had AAA
as far
plus.
As you can go. Yeah,
they had AAA plus, and it was covered most of the way. It's up to 100 miles. I don't know if that's more than 100 miles. It might be. But I've had a car towed from Baltimore, and it was 103 miles to Baltimore. And so they only had to pay for 3 miles.
Trying to get to Cape May.
Yeah, trying to get home from Cape May now.
Al Albert said, hey, buy AAA. He'd be a great spokesman. Cape May.
You're covered to Cape May. So we're going to look at that today. That's a starter, which is also a byproduct of a weak battery. The armatures, the copper and the brass that are in the inside the starter, they get hot. And if they get too much resistance across them, they'll stick. Happened to me on the racetrack a couple weeks ago.
There has to be a correlation, Fred, with the amount of technology or just sucking all the juice. It takes more now than it ever has to get the key and get everything going. Yeah. And you've got there's so much going on out there.
GPS, you got entertainment systems, you got TVs, you got everything runs off of the electrical system pretty much now.
Taxed pretty hard there.
And it's very well taxed. And that's why what I used to have was a 35-amp Chevy alternator, and is now a 350 to 400-amp alternator.
Megawatts.
Yeah. So trying to keep that battery charged, that's why it's that much more imperative to make sure your battery is in good shape.
Yeah, people were even talking about one day it was working, the next day they had no juice, and it's a fairly new battery. Sometimes
you do get defects. You get almost every part more than I'd like to admit to,
there's a certain percentage.
We complained about that all the time.
Yeah.
Batteries. I mean, it's an electrical system. It's like a light bulb. You can never predict when a light bulb is going to blow. Unless it, you know, it's one of the old ones that used to get real bright before it blew.
Yeah,
but for the most part, you can turn a light switch on and the bulb blows. It didn't tell you like 2 days prior that, you know, no. I'm going to blow. So.
Yeah.
Change me now before I blow.
What?
The batteries are the same way. Same way.
You know, there's a defect percentage. I don't know. What's the highest one? You can get bad batteries, bad whatever, tires, bad whatever.
The other thing, there's a lot of different manufacturers of batteries. Used to be only two or three. Now, a lot of people got into the game, and there's some really crappy batteries. I sell AC Delco, which is made by...
the Sears Die Hard.
Made by East Penn Battery Company. Yeah. And no relation to East Penn Automotive, which used to be me.
But, black and orange there, back in the day.
It was always cool to put an East Penn battery in for an East Penn customer. But, we used the... AC Delcos, whether it's the silver, the gold, it's up to you what you want. It's really both batteries are good. One's a little better than the other, but it really depends. The cost effectiveness, maybe about $35, $40 difference. That's up to you. It depends on your usage.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times I'll just say, you're just local. You put 4,000 or 5,000 miles a year on. Just get the silver. Save yourself some money. You're going to get the same performance from the silver as the gold. So, but if you're going out on the road, somebody that puts 25,000-30,000 miles a year, and I do have customers that do that, I would push them more towards the gold because they're going to use it a lot more, and the cost effectiveness is there.
At the you should have had like an Olympic event, you know, back in the day when you could put your VW in neutral and run it, and then jump in and pop the clutch, see if you can get it started.
Then you didn't even need a battery.
That's right. That really, you had to be in shape for that.
Oh, yeah, well, and, it's
which
a young
I was,
game,
which I was, you yeah. know. But just the feeling of just actually conquering that and getting the car started.
I used to do that with my Vega. Yeah. Push the Vega. Luckily, they weren't that heavy of a car.
Yeah.
Just like the Beetle.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you could push them and then hop in and dump the clutch and fire it up and go.
Today, it's so hard. It's so finicky that all the different bells, whistles, and everything else.
It's been a long time since I've seen a stick shift car.
I know it.
Merrill was the only one that I had. Yes. I knew that had the latest model. And he had the special order, that Porsche.
Yeah. And a trail of destruction from here to your shop.
But, you don't see too many stick shift cars anymore. Even so, a lot of the clutches are hydraulic, and they don't work the same way as the other ones, as the old cable clutches that you could dump and get fired up.
Yeah, I just hear my dad in the background. I'm driving the car. The car's not driving me. But if you're constantly downshifting, my God, that's where I think I got hip replacement. I couldn't do it anymore.
I like downshift. Stick shift.
Yeah,
I like it, but I can't imagine driving around the city with that.
In a big city, you'd be downshifting the whole time.
I remember Merrill being out on the, I was talking to him, and he was out on the Vine Street Expressway. I'm like, you're stuck in that traffic, and you got a stick shift?
Oh.
That didn't bother him.
He got here like 2 days later, I think. All right, we'll get to the phones. You're up with Fred. Go ahead.
Okay. Good morning, guys. How you doing? Morning,
good.
Fred.
Good morning.
I have a question concerning velocity of motor oil. I have a 2008 Chevy Colorado, and it's got the 5-cylinder. Now, I've always used a conventional motor oil because I feel that the clearances in the motor are not that tight like the newer motors. So there's a lot of slop and everything in there. So because conventional motor oil is getting very hard to find, I've been using the synthetic blend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it okay to use full synthetic in that motor? Because when I drain the oil out of the oil pan, the conventional used to come out a lot. Comes out a lot slower, and it feels a lot thicker and heavier. Whereas the synthetic runs out like water, and it is very slippery, but it's a lot thinner. So, what are your feelings on the velocity of these motor oils?
Okay,
just Viscosity.
Yeah. I wasn't going to correct you, but I was going to go with it.
Sorry. Okay.
You corrected yourself, so yeah.
Right.
The viscosity, whether it's 520 conventional, 520 synthetic, it doesn't matter. It's got the same stuff that's in there. But the good part about synthetic, it's more resilient. It transfers heat better. It lasts longer. So instead of doing 3,000, you can do 5,000. Some say 10,000, but I don't go more than 5,000 on synthetic. But I for a five-cylinder, I thought that was designed for synthetic oil.
Okay, yeah. Now, according to the owner's manual, it's saying use 5W30 conventional. So that's why, but like I said, conventional oil is getting very hard to find.
Right.
Most stores don't carry it anymore, especially if you go with, like, where I shop, at a Walmart. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have too many choices. And, like, the dealerships, they don't want to stock conventional, semi-synthetic, or full synthetic. They just want to stock full synthetic because it's much easier for them, just carrying one kind of oil. Yes.
Well, most cars are designed with synthetic nowadays, so I have conventional, I have blend, I have full synthetic, but I will use full synthetic just by the amount of vehicles that are coming in that use it, probably five times more than the other types.
Most, okay,
because I never deviate from whatever's says it's going. You know, if it's supposed to be 520 synthetic, that's what you get. I don't put 530 synthetic in. The old days when you had the old small block Chevys and you can, you know, throw, you usually have straight 30 weight and you can throw 50 weight because you got 100,000 miles on it, and
right. You
got some bearing clearance and some ring clearance that you have to compensate for. That was a different story. But these cars are so designed nowadays. You pretty much have to. There's actually even a viscosity meter in some of these cars.
Okay.
Like if it calls for 520, I know it was a Ford Focus. I had this. It calls for 0.16, and
yep.
we did not. That's a kind of a rare oil. At the time, I put in 0.30, and it kicked the check engine light, and it ran like crap.
Okay.
Lesson learned. I went back to 0.16, and then I didn't have a problem after that.
Okay, very good. Now, one more question, too. Mm-hmm. A couple programs ago, you had mentioned that you use vinegar to remove corrosion off of battery terminals.
Mm-hmm.
Can you also use a solution of baking soda and water?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I've also found sometimes what I'll do is I'll buy, like, a small bottle or a can of Coca-Cola, and
mm-hmm.
I'll pour that on there. That also dissolves the battery corrosion. But the thing is, though, if I use soda, then I always flush it and rinse it off with water because soda's sticky when it dries.
Yeah,
then
you get ants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't want ants.
Right.
No, I don't want ants. No.
And the car starts belching, too, a lot with the Coke.
Oh, well,
that might change once they put the pure cane sugar in there, like they're talking about.
There you go.
Got it. Okay, great.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call. The guy takes his automotive seriously.
I like that.
He's on top of it. Yeah, Coca-Cola. I mean, if you spill it on a fender, dissolve everything right there.
It has.
For the road, yeah.
Yeah, if you leave it sit on there, that stuff will...
Corrosive.
It's a little bit of corrosive.
Yeah.
Some guys, they used to say, you can clean chrome with Coke. I'm like, wow. If it does clean, imagine that you're drinking that stuff.
Mm.
I don't drink soda, so...
I do too much.
Yeah, so... there's a... Good questions, though. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we get to throw viscosity around. Like, we really know what we're talking about.
It's a big word.
Yeah, it is.
I like it.
There's a lot of... It was designed...
I sound smart.
Yeah. Viscosity. That has a real nice scientific ring to it, you know?
But, you have to pretty much stick with whatever's in there. Unless, if it's an emergency, you're out in, Bumble, Nebraska or something.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, and you're a couple quarts low and you're getting a check engine light because your timing's getting retarded.
Yeah.
And it calls for 530. You can throw some 520 in there, but as soon as you can, get that oil change to get the right viscosity back in there. And it really does. Some of this stuff is really insane.
I used to have to use oil even when you had to for for mowing the lawn. You mm-hmm. put it in there, and boy, if you secure the cap, come out. Oh, they're like a geyser.
Yeah, because
you know?
it rings in the lawnmower. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
I've done that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need this certain oil, whatever it was. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I got this oil from a car. I'll put that in.
Yeah, we did that.
I put it in there, and that's a problem.
Yeah. it'd be oil slick in the backyard,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man.
215-949-3232 to talk to America's Mechanic. Adventures in car repair.
We're 20 minutes in. We haven't insulted any EV cars yet.
We got time.
All
right, fine.
There was a house that burned in Lower Makefield the other day, and I didn't see. I saw it on Facebook, but one of my friends is a neighbor of there, and he said it was the EV car parked in the driveway, and it caught fire by itself through the charger, and the guy lost the car and the house.
The house. Whoa, so, that's not covered under your homeowners, I don't think, is it?
I don't know. Maybe it's covered under your auto car.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a little of both there.
Oh, that's it. That's
not an act of God.
No,
so
it's not.
You know, that should be a claim.
It should be a claim. All right, back to the phones we go. You're up with Fred. Go ahead.
Hey, Fred, Jim, it's Mark.
Hey.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, I do have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
On the rears, we've done the tranny. We do the oil regularly. Mm-hmm. We did the transfer case. The mm-hmm. pumpkins on the rears. What do you suggest for that? I want to bring mine in. It's coming in for inspection in a couple weeks anyway.
Okay.
I'm like 90,000.
That would be about the time.
Okay.
So you're due. A lot of guys, you know, if they go to the dealership, they'll tell you, oh, yeah, 40,000, 20,000. No. You know, anywhere between 75 and 90,000 for your first service would be great. I'm getting ready to do my Yukon before I go away. Now is the time to do it. Perfect. When you bring it in for inspection, we'll take care of that for you too, Marty.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's probably about time. And on that AAA, I swear by them. I've mm-hmm. had them for years. I still have the plus. Me and Scotty were up hunting in Hazleton. Blew a on a Chevy. I don't know why I bought that, but I blew a timing chain.
Yeah, you're a Ford guy.
I had a bad moment. Yeah, I had a bad moment. But anyway, they towed me all the way back to Neshaminy Mall. Didn't cost me anything.
Oh, that's nice.
They are worth it. And I know the wife, Erin's on it because I'm a member. You know, it's a mm-hmm. family thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing to have. It really is. So
yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, even if you don't get towed back home. Yeah, like I said, if you're out in the middle of Nebraska.
Yeah, I couldn't get all the way home.
Yeah.
I couldn't get it all the way home. I hit my 200 miles.
He was at Cape May when this happened.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
Then he went and got Scott's trailer and brought it the rest of the way.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I could see that happen.
Cool. Anyway, shout out to the wife, Erin. I know she's listening. She's always listening to you guys.
Okay.
Hi, Erin.
You guys have a great day, and I can't wait to hear Nick.
All right. He'll be on.
Yeah. Unscripted.
All right, guys. Thank you, Red. Thank you. Have a good day.
You bet. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's let me see. Where do I fit in? Oh, towed Sam's car from Rutgers to your place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was covered.
Yep.
That's
about 45 miles.
Yeah. Yep. I get my AAA. It's part of my charter with because I'm a AAA shop. That's another thing that people don't realize. If you have AAA and you're not around here, mm. or you're not from around here, let me say, they can tow you to a AAA shop. They just can't take you to anywhere. You know, if you request a certain shop, whether it's AAA or not, then that's a different story.
Yeah.
But if you're not from around and you don't know where to go, and they'll say, well, Fletcher's is a AAA-approved auto repair with a 5-star rating. This is where AAA recommends you to go. They bring the vehicle to me. And you don't have to be with the vehicle, because it's coming to my shop.
It's implied. You've been with them for...
I've been 20 years.
Right, so... Yeah, I mean, it's nice to go through channels, but I think the percentages lie in your favor.
Yeah. So,
no question about that.
Yeah, so I've been with AAA. I've been a AAA-approved auto repair for 20 years, and I worked within the system when I worked somewhere else back in the 90s. That's how I met my sales rep then, and we've been friends ever since.
I always love the contact they always give me with updates on, with emails and all the other stuff, too. They're really good about that.
A lot of savings.
Surveying and everything else, and your experience. Did you encounter any problems and anything?
Yeah, I used a lot of
follow-up calls and everything?
Yeah, I used a lot of my AAA benefits when I was in Maine about 15 years ago on vacation. I didn't break down, but they actually recommend certain hotels, motels, places to eat, stuff like that, and you get discounts. So there's a lot of benefits of being a AAA member.
Yeah, even up in Maine. As Maine goes, so goes the country, as they say, right? Where in Maine were you?
We spent a week, we spent 4 days in Bar Harbor.
Bar Harbor?
And then, 3 days in Booth Bay Harbor.
Booth Bay, there you go.
Yeah, I like Booth Bay better.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
But we had a good, it was a good time. And so back to the EVs.
Yeah.
We've been seeing a lot of... I've been reading about a lot of fires starting from the cars because I guess more and more people are buying these, so there's more and more chances or notifications that they're catching fire just by the percentages. I think probably most of them are starting with the Chargers, so make sure you get a quality starter. I think with General Motors, if you buy a Chevy Spark or Bolt or whatever they are, they'll install a charger for you. You have to check with General Motors to make sure I'm not lying to you. But I've heard that. my friend, my electrician, Jeff LaCarube, has been installing a lot of chargers. And he only installs a quality charger. He says there's a lot of levels out there. And he knows what the risks are, so he...
Yeah, but all the technology and everything, there's also a lot of nonsense, too. It goes along that kind of slips under the radar there.
I mean, somebody may say, I want a charger installed. Okay, that's going to be $3,000.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I found a guy that'll do it for $1,000. So, okay. You get what you pay for there. Upgrade your... And I heard...
You bring the marshmallows.
That brings the other point to the house fire.
Bring the marshmallows.
And what we were talking about was... the insurance claims. Some people will not, or some carriers will not write homeowners if you have an EV. I don't know if I consider that right or not, but almost understandable.
Risk. You're dealing with risk probability. I mean, that's...
Right.
And the slightest little bit, it's like a life insurance policy. Who do they want to insure? 21-year-old triathletes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nobody
wanted to write my 100-year-old grandfather.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the risk factor. That's
so, yes, there's a lot of things going on with EVs, and they're still not good. They might be getting better, but at this point, they're still not good.
They're running uphill here, and it's... literally putting out one fire after another.
Yeah, at least they got rid of the mandates. I mean, where they were going to force you to start buying them in 2035.
You know what?
So I might not be driving by then, but...
Just like you said before, they can't tell you where to take your car, and they can't tell you how to buy one.
They shouldn't tell you how to
buy one.
If you want a gas engine, buy a gas engine. And some of the ridiculousness that I've... Over the last couple of years, Dodge and Stellantis came out with a gas-powered engine to keep the EV charged. But it's not considered a hybrid. That's the engine that was put in there was strictly to charge the battery for the EV. And it's just an oxymoron right off the thing. It's like military intelligence.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like, come on. That didn't even make sense. And it's funny because I'm, like I said before, I'm on lines with a bunch of mechanics across the country, technicians, and they were, every single one of them was laughing when they came out with this.
Yeah.
They're like, because it didn't make any sense.
I just can remember you drive along any main highway and car dealerships all over the place back growing up. But there wasn't, you have to buy this, you have to buy that. It was competition.
Right.
Who can get the best deal? Who can sell the most cars? They used to fight for the consumer, fight to get the consumer on their
side.
Right,
and that's how you
now
had
it's
excellence.
Like, it's supposed to be thrown in your lap, like you don't earn anything anymore.
Yeah, that's how you had, improvements on vehicles over the years, because everybody was trying to make it better.
Yeah.
I mean, now, to me, being older now, I think it's a little overkill with some of this stuff.
Yeah.
But, and I'm really not a fan of the automated cars and the automatic driving car, or driverless cars, it's just...
You can't be talking about safety on one hand and driverless cars in another.
Yeah.
I don't know how you square that.
There was I think it was San Francisco, which big shocker there.
Yeah.
They're the first city in the country to use driverless cabs. So,
yeah, you could stiff them out of the fare then. You don't have to worry about
it. Well, I think you got to pay for a credit card before you get on it. But at least it don't smell bad in the
inside. No, okay. The Gavin Newsom one conked out too, a little too soon there anyway.
But yeah, there's a. I will probably never be totally on board with EVs.
No.
If you want one, I had one in the other day.
Caveat emptor. Let buyer beware.
Let the buyer beware. Yep. Let the buyer make his decision on what they want to have.
All right.
So, yeah, I'm just never going to endorse an EV, as far as I can tell at this point.
All right. You officially are on the record.
Yep.
Okay. All righty.